Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here safely. And Lord, we ask that you visit us now, that you be with us now, that we may be able to learn from you. Bless us with your Spirit. May it touch each and every one of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Tonight I decided, you know, I don't know many of you here, and most of you have never even heard of me. And so I thought we'd start by sharing my story. Tonight I would really like to share my story. It's slightly embarrassing sometimes because I'm just really goofy by nature. I take after my dad. He's the same way. He really is. He's just full of energy and goofy, and sometimes we do silly things. But the Lord used these silly different things to show me himself and lead me to him. And I hope that you'll be able to follow and that it'll make sense. Going to school, there was a guy, he was in high school, I was in 8th grade, and he was in 11th grade, okay? So he was older than me, and he was from African-American descent, yeah? So his dad's from America, and he's a black man, yeah? And he was so fast in the 100-meter sprint. In fact, he broke the state record in Queensland, and, you know, we come from a pretty small school. He was very gifted. Anything with a ball, he was just good, whether it's basketball, soccer, football, running, swimming. He was getting all the goals. He's really, really strong, really athletic, and really just naturally quick. But there's something that he was also, and that is really, really hairy. He was very hairy. He had an afro, yeah? You know what an afro is? Yeah, his hair was like about this, but he was always very messy. So it would, like, you know, just slouch, and it looked really messy. And then, like, in 8th grade, he had like a thicker beard than a 50-year-old. Like, he'd be like, when are you going to shave? He's like, I shaved last night, you know? But it's really thick. And, yeah, so he's this dark man. He's got hair everywhere. And for some reason, we wanted to tease him. And so we would call him Moses. How many of you heard of Moses? Raise your hand if you heard of Moses before. Moses is a person from the Bible. And oftentimes when we think of Moses, we think of this dark, hairy man. So we saw him. We're like, Moses! That there was a problem when we tried to tease him. He's bigger and faster and stronger than us. So we have to be really careful how we tease him. Either have a lot of people or do it from where he can't see you. And oftentimes I would, you know, Moses, you know, and run away. And because I thought Moses was kind of a unattractive, hairy man. That's what I thought Moses would have looked like. And then one day I was reading the Bible and I got to the book of Exodus, which is the second book in the Bible. And I was reading in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2. Now, let's turn there if you have your Bibles. If not, they should be putting it up on the screen, I believe. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2. And I found this very interesting because it's not really a way that I would describe Moses. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was," what does it say? A goodly child. My translation says a beautiful child. Other translations say a comely. They all mean the same thing. This baby was very good looking. Now, if someone told me, describe what Moses looked like my friend Dion, I would never say he was a beautiful baby. How many of you are parents? Raise your hand if you're a parent. Now, I want an honest question. Now, honest answer for my question. When your child was first born, would you say it looked beautiful? There's some honest parents. Yeah. Generally, when I ask this question, parents are like, yes, they are beautiful. And I was like, phew. I personally never seen a beautiful newborn. My son, I highly doubt he will be beautiful. But it does happen sometimes. Yeah. There are some babies that are born and they just look normal and beautiful, yeah? And then some of them, I have a friend, Jed, in America. He said, my son, my firstborn, he looked beautiful. And then we had our second child. And I asked the doctor, what's wrong with her? Some babies just don't, actually most babies don't look beautiful, but Moses from very birth was good looking. Now at the time that Moses was born, Egypt had this law, and they were telling the nurses, the midwives, that if a male son is born, a male child of the Hebrew people, that they were to get them and throw them in the river and kill them. Because the Egyptians of that time were scared of the Hebrews or the Israelites because they were getting big in number. And so this is the environment that Moses was born in. And listen to this. Let's continue the verse. Still in Exodus 2:2. It continues and says, and she hid him how long? 3 months. Now I have a question for you parents, and I'm about to find this out. How many of you think you could hide a newborn for 3 months? Like every few minutes, you know, how do you keep a newborn hidden for 3 months? Have you thought of that? Well, think about it now. How would you keep a newborn baby who sleeps and then cries and eats and sleeps and then cries and eats and then just cries, and sometimes you don't know why they're crying, but then they sleep and then they eat and they sleep and they're just crying and crying, right? That's what babies do. How do you keep a newborn baby hidden for 3 months? You just hide him, you know, like how do you do it? I don't know how they did it, but I do know this. I've read, actually, first I heard it and then I read it. In Africa, there is a tribe that is still very primitive, right? The men still go out and fight other tribes. And the women, they hide with their children. And they say in this tribe, the babies do not know the emotion of crying. Because as soon as a baby cries, now this is kind of crazy, but the mum grabs the nose of the child and blocks the mouth. And this baby, why? And literally passes out. Now, how many of you think that's extreme? Yeah. And they keep doing this every time he cries until it eventually just doesn't cry. Now, that seems crazy to me. However, in their environment, there are tribal wars happening very often, and the women are always hiding with the children somewhere. Now, if a baby was to cry, the enemy would find out where all the ladies and babies are and kill them all. So they're trying to do the best for their kids. Now, how did Moses' mum keep him hidden for 3 months? I have no idea. But the Bible says she did. And then what happened? In order for him not to get killed, because of this Egyptian law, she got her daughter to put him in a basket and put him in a river. All right, so at least he's alive. He's floating in a river. And he just happens to flow by Pharaoh's daughter's house, and she finds him. And she says, "Man, I'm going to..." She fell in love with him because he's a good-looking child. "Oh, he's so cute. I'm going to make him my own." And so she decides to adopt him. And she said, "You know what? Let the Hebrew ladies take care of him until he's a little older, and then I'll take him." And so Moses was able to grow up for quite a few years with his people, knowing the truths of the Bible, knowing what God teaches his people. Anyway, the story that we're going, he grows up knowing that he needs to free his people from captivity. But he doesn't know how. And so he sees an Egyptian soldier beating up one of his people, the Israelites, the Hebrews. He sees them beating him up. And he doesn't want to, he can't look at this. So he goes and beats up and kills the Egyptian soldier. The story goes that the word gets out that he killed an Egyptian soldier. So he's now scared of his own life and decides to run away. Okay, he flees and he says to the land of Midian. Say that with me. What land? Midian. Say it once more. Midian. He goes to the land of Midian, finds a wife there, and now he's a shepherd. What is he? Shepherd. A shepherd. He's starting a new life. And we're going to pick this up in chapter 3, all right? What chapter? 3. Chapter 3, all right? Chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock back to the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God," right? So it's just saying that he was leading the sheep and tending the sheep and came to a certain location called Horeb, yeah? Next verse. "And the angel of the Lord appears unto him in" what? Who can read that? "In a flame." In a what? "In a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush." Now listen to this. "And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not," what's it say? "Consumed." So here he is, he's taking care of sheep, he's guiding them in the desert, and he comes to this place called Horeb. And then he sees this bush, this tree, and it's burning. But then he looks, and it's burning, but it's not burning. Like it's burning, but it's not being consumed. You know what I mean? Like, it's burning, but it's not burning up. Would that look weird if you saw it? It would. And it looked weird to him, so it caught his attention. He's like, "Man, I want to go see this." And in fact, the next verse, can we do verse 3? It says, "And Moses said, I will now turn and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." If you guys were walking along, you see this tree and it looks like it's on fire. Like, "Oh, the bush is on fire." And you look a little closer and it's like, okay, it's on fire, but it's not on fire. You know, it's like burning, but it's not being burnt up. Would you be intrigued to go look at it? Yes or no? Yeah. I see some people going, "Mm-mm, not me. I stay away from fire." Yeah. Play with fire, you're going to get burnt. Yeah. No, but most of us, we said yes, we wanted to. And Moses wanted to see it. And look at what happens next. "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am." Now listen, say you're walking around and you see this tree, this bush, it's on fire. And you look closer, it's like, "But it's on fire, but it's not burning." And you have that natural, like, I need to see what's happening here. And you go there. And then from that tree, it says, "Boris, Boris," or your name, like fill in the blank, yeah? "Daniel, Daniel," or I got this. "Potty, potty," right? you're there and you're, this tree's not only burning, but not, but it's talking. Would that scare you, yes or no? Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'd be scared. This tree knows my name. It's not normal, yes? Can we agree that that's not normal? Like, you don't go for a hike throughout the bush and the tree's going, "Run, Boris!" Like, you don't do that. This is something, what? And Moses recognized that he was in the presence of God. He recognized that God was trying to reach him. And look at the next verse. "And he said, draw not nigh hither," or "do not come here until you put off your shoes from off of thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." From this tree, God speaks to him, the angel of the Lord speaks to him, says, "Stop, do not come closer until you take off your shoes, because this area is holy ground." Now, in the Bible, sandals and shoes, they represent your journey. What do you walk in? Your shoes, unless you're inside where you take your shoes off, right? But generally, you walk in shoes. And you journey through life. And God says to Moses, "Stop. Do not come closer until you take off your shoes." Here, God was telling Moses, "You've been running, you've been hiding, but now I need you to change the direction of your journey. You need to change your shoes, because right here, this is holy ground." I was brought up in a Christian family, and to be honest, my parents are great. They're awesome. My mom's better than your mom. I know you can't imagine it, but my mom's better than your mom. Yeah. Don't debate me. I will win, you know. Not because I have good arguments, but I'm stubborn. My mom, she's awesome. And she cooks like, Like, man, can she cook? Yeah, we have a witness, yeah? She can cook. And my dad, you know, he's given everything of himself for us. My parents snuck me into this country. I came 3 months in my mum's belly. Yeah? Free visa. Yeah? Some of you can relate. That would be nice. And my mum snuck me into this country. I have two older sisters, and what they had was two suitcases. My dad came to this country, one wife, two daughters, and a son in the belly, two suitcases, and I don't know, he doesn't know the language, thank you very much. He doesn't know the language, he doesn't have a job, but he's here. And so my dad, he did everything of himself to be able to work and put food on the table. Yeah, I've got a napkin because I sweat a lot. Yeah, it happens. So my dad, he really would give everything of himself. I remember he would leave for work at like 4:35 in the morning, and he would be back at 2 in the morning. And he'd come back tired and stinky, and he just wants to eat and go to sleep. Yet I couldn't sleep until Dad came home, and when he comes home, I'm climbing all over him. Dad, let's wrestle! As if he wants to wrestle. Like he's just been working his heart out. Yet he did. He'd play with me and wrestle. Lovely parents. And they were Christians. Every Saturday we would go to church. Yet I, for myself, never read the book called the Bible. I've never, in my life, up to, in my childhood, I, for myself, never did. My mum regularly did. My dad did on Saturday. But I, for myself, never did. But as I grew up and came into high school, I really loved soccer. I really loved soccer, and I was doing quite well at it. But I had a very short temper. Do you know what a short temper is? Have you ever seen anyone just explode and lose it over something silly? You do? Yeah, man. I was like that. But if you put a ball in front of me, I was like that like 50 times more, you know? What do you mean that was a foul? That wasn't, you know what I mean? Just like, and I lost my temper once, and I did something stupid, and I was banned from playing soccer in Queensland. And so I was like, man, I was just devastated because all my friends were soccer friends. Yeah? Everyone. I was brought up in a half Serbian, half Croatian home, you know? Like, you're born with a soccer ball, yeah? And now I can't play it. And so I was like, man, I've got to change my friends. And so I found a very friendly sport called rugby. And I didn't really play that because I liked it. In fact, I didn't like it. I thought it was stupid. I thought like, you just don't have necks and you run at each other, you know? Because that's, you know, that's kind of like the concept. And at first, I just wanted to hang out with a different crowd because I wasn't allowed to do what I loved anymore. And so I started playing with my friends just socially. Like on a weekend, we'd go out, play rugby. And what happened in year 11... there was something called regional trials. And I have a few friends that were actually really quite good at rugby. And so they're like, hey, we're going to go try out for these trials. Do you want to come watch? I was like, yeah, man, I'll skip school. Yeah, no problem. And so I did. I skipped school. And I went and watched. And in one of their assessments or in one of their drills that they call them, they were one man short, like they needed someone to fill a gap. And so my friends were like, hey, Boris, jump in. And so they told the supervisor, Boris, jump in. And so I was like, all right, yeah, I'll jump in. And you know, everyone's like got their proper studs in their shoes. I mean, like Chuck Taylors, you know what they are? Like you slip when you walk normally. Anyway, I was just like there for fun. And my friends passed me ball, did a few runs. And I got picked for the team. I got picked for regionals. And I was like, man, this is really awesome. Because regionals is like a school thing. I get 3 days off school to play football. Don't really care about football, but 3 days off school. And I was just excited about that. So we went there and we played. And me and one of my other friends made it to the Met East team. Now, I don't play rugby. One of my friends that plays it very well, he didn't make it, and he hated me for it. You know, he's like, how did you make it? You don't even play. I was like, he shouldn't have taught me that good. And so that's how it happened. And then, true story, with Met East team, in Queensland, you have Metropolitan East, Metropolitan West, Metropolitan North, South, and then you have Bay Area and Gateway Area. And not affiliated with this church. And so through the year, the Met East would verse Met West, and Met East would verse Met North. And so we would compete with each other. And because these were all school events through the state, you know, it was like days off school. Now, I remember we would go up to Cairns and play. Cairns and play. And it was awesome, you know, like days off school. I hated school. And Queensland team ends up getting selected, and I get it. Now, as the Queensland team that year, we got smashed. You know, we lost most of our games. But I made it to Queensland level, and I never actually trained. And so after this year, like throughout year 11, I was like, man, I'm kind of good at this. I would like to do this. And so I joined the club. Now, my parents are Seventh-day Adventist. So on Friday night to Saturday night, it's our Sabbath. We rest. But my rugby games, some of them were on Friday night. And so I knew right away that this would cause, you know what I mean? This would cause like a battle in the home. Or this would cause a rift. This would cause trouble. Yeah? So I found a way to fix the trouble, not tell my parents. And so, oh, Dad, I'm sleeping over Mark's house tonight. Go to my friend's house, play rugby, come back. You know, very rebellious I was. I really was. And I went like this through life. Now, when you surround yourself with friends who play rugby, and if there's anyone here that plays rugby, I'm sorry. Generally, it's not the most Christian culture. You know, it's not the nicest culture. You know, if you've ever seen them on TV, they use certain words that are not very good very often. They swear more than they talk normally, you know? And I became like that. I really did. If it was the English language, I couldn't start it with a sentence without a swear word. I just would swear like crazy. But the thing is, I didn't know I was. It was just me swearing. And then I picked up a horrible habit, drinking. And by the end, actually, this was through year 11. By the end of year 11, I was an alcoholic. I didn't know it at the time. I just knew that I drank like 5 times a week. And totally, I thought I was able to keep it from my parents. Anyway, I picked up this lifestyle where you just know it's wrong. How many of you just done something and you know it's not right? Anyone here that done something and you kind of know, hey, I shouldn't do this. That's how my life was. Can you imagine, like, my whole life is, I know I shouldn't be doing this. And because that's my circle. And so it was very important for my parents that I go to church. So Saturdays, there was never a game for us. So every Saturday, I made sure I was at church and, you know, sang and did what, you know, church people were meant to do. But still, now I'm 18 years old, and I've never read the Bible in my life. Never. In fact, up to that point, I've never read a book in my life. No, that's not true. In grade 3, I read a story about a monkey that got lost in the city. Curious George. I read that. I read it cover to cover. Only book up to the age of 18 that I've ever read. At school, I never did one assignment. I'm serious. And in school, the teachers never really dealt with it because it was much easier just to pass it to the next teacher. So in my grade 12 exam, we have something called the HSC exam. And for reading comprehension, it was fourth grade, or between third and fourth grade. Now, I'm 18 years old and I can't read. And the reason I never tried in school is because by this time, Dad's business started to grow. And I knew, whew, I finish school, I just start working at the company, and I'm good. I'm good. Why would I study? Yeah, you guys study, don't enjoy school. I'm going to enjoy it. I don't need to do this, and I would avoid it because in my head, I had this plan. I'm going to take over Dad's business. But now, at the same time, this rugby thing's happening, and now I'm like, oh, maybe I can do rugby. I graduate year 12. Yeah, they graduated me, even though I failed every subject except for art and HBE. I got a C in both. And believe it or not, my dad is like, at least you got a C. Like, what can you do now? And so he's like, well, to the factory we go. And so we did. Now, have you heard of schoolies? In Australia, when you graduate year 12, the government does something very silly and puts on like a week-long party at the beach. And my dad was like, look, go to Europe instead. I was like, okay. Didn't take much convincing. So I had a month in Europe before I was to enter work, start working. Now, in this month, like, no parents, no obligation, nothing. I thought I can be so free and do whatever I want, man. I'm away from my parents. I'm free. And the more I got into it, and the more rubbish and stupid stuff I did that I knew that was wrong, the cooler I thought I was, yet at night, the sadder I became. I just became sad. When I was lonely, like, it just felt very empty. But during the moment, whoo! And so, because the alone times were so sad, I never wanted to be alone. I never wanted to be doing nothing. I always wanted to be distracted by doing something stupid. And that month that I was in Europe, I decided, when I come home, I'm telling Dad, Dad, I've never been into Christianity. I've never cared for it. I've never cared for church. I'm not going to go to church anymore. And I decided, and that was hard for me because I knew that meant a lot to my parents, yeah? But I decided, no, I'm not going to church. And I was going to tell him when I get back. Now, I arrived back in Brisbane, and my sister comes up to me and she says, hey, Boris, do you want to come to this thing called AYC? How many of you heard AYC? This is 2007. If you haven't gone, go. I think it's great. It changed my life. I went there and I was like, when is it? And I think it was from a Thursday to Monday, but we had to get there on Wednesday night, and so we'd be back Tuesday evening. And I calculated, I was like, 5 days off work. Count me in. And so I went there, total no interest, you know. Some of you saw me there. I look slightly different. Some of you don't know who I am because you can't recognize me. In fact, there was a guy that I went... I'm jumping ahead. But later on, a couple of years ago, I met someone who told me that when they saw me there, they laughed. Like, they did, like, him and his friends made fun of me. Like, I just didn't fit in. Like, these were like these Christians that were like really Christians. And then there's me. And everywhere I looked, there was these young Christians that were really like nice and happy and fulfilled and had a vision for their life. And then there was me. I was the same age as them. And they knew where they were going. And I was like, well, I get an easy ride under Dad. They had so much passion and love for their life, and I felt so sad when I was alone. Anyway, the preacher there starts speaking about this book in a way I've never heard before because it sounded as though he believed it. I've never, up to that point, I distinctly remember sitting there, this guy believes it. It's the thought that came to my mind, and I couldn't shake it off. This guy believes it. It bothered me. He would make appeals, then I wouldn't go forward, but it bothered me. And so on the last night of this thing, AYC, it's 2 a.m., and I can't sleep. I'm just like, man, something's wrong with my life. I cannot sleep. And so 3 a.m. and I can't sleep. There's just this feeling, there's this unsatisfaction, and there's this realization that there's something better. I just didn't know what, but there's something better. And so 4 a.m. comes. And I said, I can't take this anymore. I need to sleep. And I got down off my bed. We were sharing a bunk, and my friend Andy's like, what are you doing? Go to sleep. I'm like, I'm trying, you know? And so I get off my bed and I pray. And I said, God, I don't even fully know if you're real, but I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to read the Bible 1 hour. Actually, I didn't say that. I'm going to read the Bible 1 chapter every day. If you're real, show me. That's the only thing I knew. You know, this is a book that all of them were reading, and it was bothering me. There's something better out there to access. There's a lot more out there, and I didn't have it, and I wanted it. So I said, God, if you're real, I'm giving you a chance. And so I decided I'm going to read. Something I didn't think about. And after I prayed that, went back to bed. I was just asleep. I didn't think about that prayer because I forgot that I didn't know how to read. So that next morning I wake up at 6, because we've got to be there at 7, I think it was. And I got up at 6, and I'm going to read a chapter. I'm going to the book of John. I'm reading 1 chapter. It took me like 1 hour and 10 minutes to read 1 chapter because I was like sounding words out. I heard Jessica read this morning, and I was like, Lord, if only I had that. I couldn't read as good as her when I was 18. It took me 1 hour and 10 minutes to read 1 chapter. Not a very big chapter. But I stuck with it. And before you knew it, I became addicted to this book. I really did. I was like, man, I want to know what happens next. Shh. He fed how much with how many? Man, what happens next? What happens next? And now I'm back at work and I'm wondering what happens next. And so I'm always carrying the Bible with me. And at work, we have this big table, a sander, and I had my Bible open there, and I'm trying to work, right? I'm like, and because I want to know what happens next. And my dad, he's trying to be patient with me. And then he comes, he's like, Boris, what are you doing? I say, oh God, you're a Christian. This is the Bible. You should be happy. He's like, I'm happy, but do it at home, you know? When you're at work, work. When you're at home, you got all the time to do it. I was like, yeah, you don't get it. I'm addicted. He's like, you're extreme. But, you know, I couldn't. And so he took my Bible away. And I couldn't. I was hooked. So the next morning, I snuck it in. I'm not lying. True story. I snuck it in. It's in my pants and I'm standing. And all I'm thinking is, this morning I started reading the book of Acts. And crazy stuff's happening. Like, God, stuff I've never seen, but this is true. Like, this is powerful. And I didn't even notice. By this point, I stopped swearing. I didn't notice. My friend said, dude, you haven't sworn for a while. I was like, oh, wow. Which is crazy because I've tried to stop before, but I couldn't. And all of a sudden, I couldn't. Like, I couldn't swear. I stopped drinking alcohol like that. Amen. And I'm reading Acts, and I'm like, man, I need to know what happens next. So I'm like, Dad's not near me. So I go to the bathroom, and I sit on the toilet. I didn't need to go to the toilet, fully clothed. I just want to say that. So I'm sitting on the toilet. I'm not joking. And I'm reading the Bible. And then this is crazy, like, whew, man, oh, what's next? What? And I'm just getting so excited about this. And this is crazy for me. I've never read in my life. And I'm just like, I love reading. And so I'm reading this. And then Dad, half an hour later, no kidding, half an hour later, is everything all right, son? No problem. And so I do a fake flush. hide the Bible, and I'm back at work. Now, I've just got to, a story about Paul about to get converted, and he's sharing. In the middle of that, I stopped. And so I'm like, man, I need to know what happens next. 10 minutes later, oh, I've got to go bathroom. And I go there, and I read this. And it's there where I realize, for 18 years, I've had access to this book. For 18 years, I could have read if I wanted to. For 18 years, I've wasted my life. Without this, like, this changed me. I slept like a baby. I was happy when I was alone and happy with people. And I didn't need the rubbish that I thought I needed. And it hits me. Not once have I accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. So they're in the toilet. If not here, then where? If I go outside, Dad will be like, oh, no, he's kneeling at work. No. So they're in the toilet. I kneel down and ask Jesus to change my life. Amen. And I knew from that point that God said to me, you need to take off those shoes because now you're on holy ground. Amen. Throughout this weekend, I want us to experience a bit of what I've experienced. And that is that the book of the Bible is true. God is real and He can fulfill you. Amen. How many of you are excited that you're here? Raise your hand. I want to see all the hands. How many of you are excited that you're here? How many of you are excited about tomorrow? I'm really excited about the rest of this week. And so please, 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 let's really have a good time together. Yeah? Like, let's really just be open and share and get to know each other. I don't know any of you, and I really, well, I know some of you, but I want to get to know you all. So let's have a good time together. Is that okay with everyone? Yeah? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. I thank you so much that you did not give up on me. And Lord, I thank you so much that you've given us this book called the Bible. And that somehow this book had the power to change my life. And Lord, I pray that through this weekend, your Spirit may be present, that we may have a great time with you. In Jesus' name, amen.